Thank you, Jeff. So we're blessed today to get studying Philippians 4. That happens to be a chapter that has at least three of some of the most quoted and repeated verses that you'll hear throughout your lifetime. And we've been kind of having a hard time getting all the way through the chapters. And as I was sitting before we got started, I don't want to rush through it and not get very deep into it, or get too deep but not very deep into the Scripture, but also, don't want to drag this class down and look up and be on verse 4 or something when we're done. So I think I'm going to do something a little bit different. Just read the whole chapter first, and then we'll go back and start discussing the verses. But Ephesians 4, therefore, my beloved and longed-for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord, and I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clemente also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of our peace will be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, now that at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I now know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds in your account. Indeed, I have all and abound, and I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things which from you a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, to our God and Father, be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet each saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus shall be with you all. Amen. So, that's the whole chapter in an overview. Class dismissed. So, let's get started with verse 1, and it says, therefore, which goes back to what I said, or what Paul was saying earlier, and he's talking about our citizenship in heaven in verse 20 and 3, eagerly waiting for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. And then we get into verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my beloved and longed-for brethren, my joy and crown, So stand fast in the Lord, beloved. So he's talking about them being, these are people that are really close and dear to Paul, as we talked about last Sunday, that they aided him, you know, they gave him means to help him survive, which for a preacher or somebody spreading the word, that is like a sign of approval by them, that they will give him them. And, you know, Paul is somebody that had some controversy with people arguing whether they thought he was a true apostle. And so that was, you know, he's there for and he longed for them, and they're his beloved. They're valuable to him. They're precious to him. They're his joy and his crown. So, I mean, these people are really close to him. And he tells them to stand fast in the Lord, which we can see also in Philippians 1 and 27. It talks about being stand fast, and also in Philippians 1 and 8. So stand fast is repeated quite a few times through Philippians. Does anybody have anything on verse 1 that they'd like to make a comment on? Okay, thank you. So we'll get on to verse 2. I implore Euodia, and I implore Syntyche, I said that bad, but to be of the same mind in the Lord. So he's not, you know, just asking them, hey, would you guys be of the same mind? I mean, for one, he's calling them by name. You know, I mean, this is a congregation, a people there in Philip, and he is calling them by their name of y'all too. I'm begging you. Implore means to beg or to, to beg earnestly or desperately. And he's wanting them to be of the same mind so that they will get along. And we don't know what the tiff was or what the situation was. We do know that Paul doesn't go on to correct the situation, you know, like to, I can't think of the word I'm trying to use, but I'm sure it's written down here somewhere, but it's all just a blur on this piece of paper right now. He's not correcting an issue with more scripture or anything. He's just telling them that he's imploring them to be of the same mind, and he doesn't correct whatever it is they're arguing about with correction. What am I looking for? That's exactly what I was going to say. And not only is it's a cancer within that can spread and typically gets other people involved and side-taking. And also, how does it look from the outside? People looking in, and they see people here just arguing and picking sides over matters that possibly don't even matter. You know, so it's something that we really need to guard ourselves against. We can see in Psalms 133 and 1, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." We can read that in Psalms 33. So, does anybody have anything else? Yes. Very good.
I points out that both these women have labored with Paul. So they're working Christians. But I kind of think of Mary and Martha. You know, one's listening to Jesus, the other one's making sure everybody's accommodated. But there's a disagreement over what they're doing, but neither one's doing anything wrong per se. But Jesus corrects and says, well, she's desiring the more perfect things. So
very good point. Anybody else have anything?
John?
Yes.
You have to be careful, too, on opinions, judgments. If it's not scriptural, we never, that's God's word, we have to do that. But we're not careful. But, you know, Scripture says we don't want to be devouring ourselves. We get too much if we're not same mind, especially, for Scripture, we can't. But if it's opinion and judgment,
very good. Okay, so on to three. He's saying, "And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clemente also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life." So he's urging them. Which, what does urge mean? Is urgent is the way I think of it. It's important that the rest of the congregation help get this situation solved. And we have the urgency of it. He's asking the other people to help. And then it talked about fellow workers, and then it goes on, whose names are in the book of life. What do y'all think that means? How does Paul know that their names are in the book of life? I'm sorry? That is correct. And he is talks about, we also see it in Luke 10, ties in with Philippians 4, 3 and 4. Where it just says, it has some other things, and it says, "Rejoice because your names are written in heaven." So we have the fruit that you, as Dara was saying, the fruit that you show and that you produce, put your name in the book of life. And one thing we have to remember is we have joy all through this book, and I don't mean just Philippians. We have joy in being a Christian, and we can have confidence in being a Christian and knowing that our names are in the book of life by our fruits and by the way we act and by what we do. You know, we often tend to worry about things that are going to keep us out of heaven instead of doing the things that are going to get us in heaven. And we have all these things that we do right, and we're worried about these couple things. And yes, we should be, but I mean, let's do what's right and have the confidence that we know that when we pass, we are going to go to heaven. Yes.
That same word that gives that peace that passes understanding is the sword that divides good and evil, shows what's right, not right. So the same way that you can get that hope and faith, there's also that great sense of fear that comes from knowing, reading it, and seeing if you're not walking according to those words that are in that book.
Exactly. And that comes through study. And we study, and we know what's right and what's wrong, and we do what's right and don't do what's wrong. And, you know, meditate on these things daily, all day long, and have the confidence that you can have with the fear. You know, and the fear motivates you to study and make sure what you're doing is right. And you can have the confidence anyway, it helps. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. He repeats itself twice. You know, we get to rejoice in the Lord sometimes, and then he says it again, rejoice. No, we get to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, he repeats it again. You know, he's telling us twice in this small verse, which this is one of the ones I was talking about that gets quoted quite often. And we do get to rejoice. I mean, let's be rejoiceful that we are in the Lord. Anybody have any comments on that? Yes. And the beauty is it's ours. I mean, it's Scott Ward's. Foster can't take it away from me. You know, somebody else can't take it away from me. It's mine. You know, it's mine. I have to own it. I have to be responsible for it, you know, which is a big responsibility, but it's also nice that somebody here or somebody in the world can't take it away from me. You know, it's mine. I possess it. I'm responsible for it.
I'm glad you mentioned responsibility, because I think sometimes we think of this verse as, you know, an encouragement to, you know, this is something you have, let's recognize it and stuff, but, you know, some people almost like to be the victim and like to feel down, and he's telling us, you're responsible for your joy in the Lord. You, and I think that's, you know, you can connect that to verse 8 and 9. If you want to rejoice, that is Paul commands us to, then think on the matters of Scripture. Meditate on these things. We're responsible for our own joy in the Lord, as you're saying. And, you know, being a downer all the time is unacceptable as a Christian. We're supposed to be optimistic. And it's not to say we're not going to go through any troubles and situations that, you know, we face sorrow and we weep. That's certainly true. But I'm reminded of 1 Thessalonians 4. It says sorrow is not as others who have no hope. We have hope. And so this rejoicing, it's not even just mere happiness. It's something that we can possess even in the worst trials and tribulations of life. And it's up to us to be able to see, as we say from time to time, the silver lining. And that's in the fact that my relationship with Christ is not affected by this. If anything, it can be strengthened by God's grace. And it's up to us to be looking for those things and cultivating that.
Very good. And happiness can kind of be circumstantial, you know, where you can be in a bad mood and somebody tells you a funny joke or says something funny and you have happiness. Well, joy seems to be something that is, you know, broader than happiness. I mean, you can have the joy. Do you have the joy that you need to make others outside of Christ or even others inside Christ want what you have? You know, why is Scott Ward always happy? You know, and if they ask you, you can tell them, I've got God in my life, and here's why and here's how. You know, this is what makes me happy. It brings me joy. And often again, happiness can be temporary. Joy can be, you know, lifelong, although there may be some down times in it. You still have this overbounding joy that overweighs the trials and other things with you. And we'll get into some of that later. Verse 5, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. As to all men, we talked about this last week. Matthew 11, 29 and 30. I think we were hitting on this about the time class went off. 11. Now take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So Christ describes himself as being gentle and lowly in heart. We also have 2 Timothy 2, 24 and 26. Let's turn there. Second Timothy 2, 24 through 26. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. And then, of course, we got several verses, but Matthew 5 and 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall shall be called the Son of God. Okay, I'm sorry. So we have, you know, all through this book about gentleness and all through the Bible about gentleness and we've also got on in 5, it says, you know, we're talking about gentleness, and that kind of seems to be the overriding theme in this verse, but it says, the Lord is at hand. So what do y'all think it means by the Lord is at hand? Yes. Yes. DJ, did you? I was blessed to the last couple of days get some of Phil's notes on this, and one of his verses to go through on this was James 4 and 8 tells us to draw near to God and he will draw near to you. so we can keep God near us and at hand by drawing near to Him. You know, we're the one that takes the step to draw near and do that by study. And then we've got in Proverbs 16 and 32 back to the gentleness, that he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes the city. So, you know, and we're talking about so many things, but there's so many different ways to use this as a tool. The gentleness, you know, one of the, and just being gentle to others, so, and then also saving people's souls, you know. There's just so many different ways to do this, and this six is kind of ironic, where I'm studying to teach this class, and this is the first adult class, you know, that I've ever taught, and I've been so nervous and so worked up. And then you read six: be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So.
So you're so grateful about this opportunity to teach you next month.
Oh, no. I'm too anxious. So we've got, you know, where else can we see verses about anxiety? And, oh, nowadays, since the pandemic, I mean, just how much do you hear and see even television commercials about this drug and that drug on anxiety? Back in the day, you know, before a football game or a speech or whatever it might be, a date, you were nervous, you know, and you controlled that to a degree, and now it's anxiety, which seems to be more of a symptom. And yes, it is true, but we can overcome this. You know, Christ tells us to be anxious for nothing. Easier said than done, but it can be done, yes. Exactly. Thank you. And like he's saying in Matthew 6 and 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. It is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing. I saw. Yes. Very good point. And like Janae was saying, you know, I am, don't ask Lori about this or any people I work with, but I am a control freak to a degree that I want to know what's going on at all times because maybe my simple brain can help something. But when we realize that we're not in control, you know, then you're of the big picture, your anxiety does lessen some. And you can see that so oftentimes just with death and when somebody so important dies and you realize that life just rolls right along, you know, and that we're just a small, tiny part in this whole picture, but we can do such good with it. Yeah, brother. Okay. Go ahead, man. Exactly, which is exactly what 7 and 8 are talking to, about things to meditate on. I saw David. So much you can find peace so much through prayer. When I was younger and I thought so much smarter, I would limit my prayer to the things that I only thought God cared about. And my prayers would just be, you know, about this, that, and the other that I just thought God cared about. Not particularly some of the things I've cared about, I would just think, okay, God doesn't care about that. God doesn't care about that. I'm not going to, you know, make that request known. And it did build up a lot of anxiety. And now, you know, I just lay everything out there and God can, you know, hear it all and handle whatever He wants to handle and whatever He thinks is important, He can handle it. I'm going to lay it all out there and, did I just black out again, or was that the first time? I wasn't sure. I saw Larry. Larry, yes.
Yeah, in 1 Peter 5:7, we're told to catching all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. So, the things you say, you don't think about what you're up to, maybe He does. You know, He can't be that careful.
Exactly, yes. Okay, yes.
And to wrap that up,
expected an answer.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, not my will, but thine, God.
Yes.
You know that?
Yes.
Back to the home.
Maria.
Oh, I'm sorry. Lady in blue. Absolutely. Yes, yes.
I'll take concern as outwardly focused, whereas anxiety is inwardly focused.
Yeah.
There's two phrases that's used here. One is that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. And at the end, if we pray to God, if we practice the things that are from God, God's peace will be with us. So we have the peace of God and the God's peace. If we pray,
concern can be controlled. Anxiety controls you.
Concern is compassion. That's the
last
one.
Yes.
Love. Anxiety is born of a lack of faith.
Very good. Anybody else? Seven. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. I think I'm going to go ahead and go into eight. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, worthy, meditate on these things. Christians have challenges. We have setbacks. We have all the same problems and worldly issues that if everybody in the world, but you know, we have the peace that passes all understanding. And I'd like to read John 16 and 33, because we can cope with these situations easier because we have God. So John 16 and 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So, we have the same issues. We have the same problems as people of the world. We actually may even have a few more. And we do have a few more. But we have God on our side, and God can bring us through. And we need to meditate, as in verse 8 says, our mind is like a computer. Whatever you put in it is going to come out. And we have, if we think on God daily, all of these things with praise and humility, letting our light shine, and meditate on good and of God, then all these other things, the things of the world will get pushed out, and we won't be as much. But we have this confidence that through all these things, just make sure you're putting what's in your mind the right thing. If the show's not the right show to watch, or the people aren't the right people to hang around with, and they're a bad influence, get rid of them. Get them out of your life one way or another. It can be done one way. Don't kill them or anything. But, avoid them, I guess, would be a good thing. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. All right, thank you all very much. I appreciate it.